For pregnancy, I really say to pay attention to the quality of the food, to the characteristics of the food that you are craving. And then we can talk about how to make a healthy choice. I'm wanting chips. Okay, let's talk about a lentil chip. You're going to get some more fiber. You're going to get a pretty good amount of protein in there. So let's explore some of the different brands and flavors and have that instead.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juna Moms podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juna Moms is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. On today's episode, I'm talking with Krista Pollitt, a registered dietitian and nutritionist. We talk about a plant-based pregnancy, if it's safe, and how to best optimize your nutrition if you are plant-based. Krystal is full of scientific information so you can have an informed pregnancy. I hope you enjoy. Krista, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Why don't you take a minute, introduce yourself, and tell us a little bit about your area of expertise?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. I'm so happy to be here and be talking to you today. So my name is Krista Pollitt. I am a registered dietitian. I'm a prenatal registered dietitian. So I've been a dietitian for 12 years, and my last place of work was in California at a health center, and I started seeing about 30 to 40% of the patients I saw there were pregnant women. Just by chance, it was really a insurance program that they could qualify for. So I wound up seeing a lot of prenatal patients there. And then I got pregnant, and then I moved to Australia. And that's when I became certified in prenatal nutrition. And I started a private practice here called First Taste Nutrition and a program called Plant-Based Motherhood.
And have you specialized in plant-based because you are plant-based, or is it, yeah, I guess tell me a little bit of the genesis of that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I specialize in prenatal because of all the amazing reasons why nutrition is so important for pregnancy. But the plant-based part of it is, yes, part of it is because I am plant-based. I did have a plant-based pregnancy, and I noticed some gap in the care there. And I could talk about my experience later if you'd like. But really what I wanted to do was help these women who are plant-based. And when I was saying plant-based, vegan or vegetarian, I do work with women that are just trying to get more plants on their plate or just eat some more vegetables. And they realize that eating some eggs is good for them. And that's, I guess that would also be vegetarian, but eating some fish is good for them. And that's fine. I'm happy to work with women at any stage of their plant-based journey. But the women that I was talking to that were vegan or vegetarian for our planet or for animal welfare or for their health, they may have just noticed that they feel their best when they're not eating meat or dairy, and they're just going along eating their vegetarian life. And then they have a new life stage come about and they're pregnant, and it's okay, enter this new life stage. Some doubt starts to creep in. They start to like question what is needed, if it's possible to get it through plans. They start Googling everything and just getting conflicting advice. So there's this gap. I just identified kind of this problem where there's a plant-based way of eating where you're not really paying attention to all the nutrients and you're sick of everyone asking where to get your protein, right? We get enough protein. It's very rare that someone is in America or Australia is protein deficient, but you're just going along thinking the plants are covering it all. And then there's pregnancy, right? And then there's increased needs, importance of the diet and preventing complications. And you start to hear things. Oh, I need to eat meat. Oh, I need to eat dairy. You need to eat fish for a healthy pregnancy. And you start to doubt yourself. And so doubt creeps in. And so I'm here to help then. That's what I'm here for, to show you how to do it.
Yeah. I think it's like you touched on it. Like and we're going to obviously dive into it throughout the episode, but like it's completely possible to have a healthy pregnancy without eating animal protein. And I think that is definitely a myth that that has been perpetuated. I think, like, obviously there are ways, we'll get into like where there are gaps with the plant-based diet and then how you can supplement to get there. Cool. So where do I want to start? Let's talk about specific nutrients or vitamins that are like the big ones that are like, you're not like, you might be worried about them if you're eating a plant-based diet.
Yeah. So first of all, there's nutrients that we should, I don't want to say worry about, but pay attention to just during pregnancy in general, right? And there's the plant-based nutrients. Right. So I don't like to be a person that a plant-based diet falls short, but I like to talk about how we've already decided that we want to be plant-based. So now how do we do it during pregnancy? Yeah. And definitely 100% a way to do it is with supplementation. So it's fortified seeds and supplementation and a well-rounded diet. And those are what we focus on mostly in my program, and how to build balanced plate, how to side effects, that's a whole other thing. And then also what supplements are necessary. So most people, pregnant people, whether or not they are plant-based, are told to take your prenatal vitamin. So with plant-based pregnancy, I 100% recommend a prenatal vitamin. They are not all the same. So you really have to go in there and look at what they have. And if it's they have all different nutrients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone is different. Yeah.
Yeah. Some just have 350% of your B12 and zero choline. The first things I look at with supplementation for plant-based pregnancy is choline, omega-3s, and B12.
Yep.
Plant-based diet in general can also fall short of zinc, calcium. Other nutrients you have to pay attention to would be zinc and calcium and iron. And B12. Did I say B12?
Is that B12? Yep.
Yeah. People would always supplement. Like, exactly. I have to be supplementing even before you're pregnant. So then I focus on fortified foods, mostly for calcium and definitely for iron. I don't always recommend iron supplementation because it can cause some GI upset. And definitely in America, just to get your iron levels tested first before we go down the supplementation route. So in a prenatal, I'm always looking for choline. So you don't have to supplement separately with that. I want to make sure there's choline in there and D3 and probably the B12 also in there. And then you can take the omega-3 separately. It's never all in one. Never all in one. The minimum I could do is two. So I have some people doing four.
Yeah. Choline is number one it's big, right? Like you can't, it's really hard to fit that into your like traditional prenatal. And then when you add omegas, like they're going to be separate. Now, what I'm curious about is what omega is going to be plant-based? Is it seaweed?
Yeah, it's some algae oil.
Okay, algae oil. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So you can get your omega-3s from your diet and from your flax seeds and your walnuts and even like your soy, but that will all be ALA. And then even if you have some, and when you're looking for the DHA/EPA, well, DHA is really important. Even if you're having some seaweed in your diet, it's still important to supplement with the DHA. And it's just a plant-based supplement and usually will be algae oil. So you'll get the DHA/EPA supplement and sometimes their B12 or choline in there too. And then you could kill two birds with one stone with that one. Choline is a newer understood vitamin, and it's really important, almost as important as folate for preventing neural tube defects. And I still talk to pregnant women who haven't heard of choline.
I know. Oh my God, it's horrifying. I know.
It's like number one thing, we start talking about choline and if your prenatal has it and how to get it separately and the amount also. So mm-hmm. I recommend 450 milligrams and a lot of people here, they can eat 4 eggs a day. You only can get choline from eggs. And that's fine. Even women who are not plant-based, it's hard to do that. So I always recommend some type of choline supplementation for the plant-based women. I recommend a lot. And also getting some choline from the diet, which won't be as high as the eggs.
It's true.
It won't be as high as the egg, but it's still important to choose those plant-based foods that do have choline in them. And then also supplement with at least 150 milligrams, probably even more, up to 300.
Okay, and what specific plant-based foods are higher in choline?
Wheat germ is actually really high, so that's like a fun one that you can just add in.
growing your pancakes or
first milk.
A smoothie.
Okay, like I'll do something with it. The dietitian told me to get it.
And peanut butter. So peanut butter is also a good one that has choline and it's higher in protein. So it's an easy swap. If you're doing more almond butter, switch to peanut butter. Soy will have some, and shiitake mushrooms will have some. Quinoa has some, so that's another swap for your rice. So just incorporating these foods doesn't have to be 4-5 times a day, but every day try to get one or two and then get your supplement. It's okay to rely on the supplement with choline because there's other things to focus on with each meal and how to build a healthy plate. So I don't want people to go crazy.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying to conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus 6 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips, and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started.
Now, back to the show. Let's talk about how to build a healthy plate. Let's dive in.
Yeah, sure. So
help me out to do it.
And now that protein is a big deal. So I hear myself just saying, protein is the most important thing, and you have to make sure there's protein with each meal. So building each meal around a plant protein, at least one type of plant protein, and then making sure you have your fruits and vegetables, and then also a fat. So the fat will help you absorb all the other nutrients. And this is why plant-based ways of eating are so healthy, because they are very nutrient dense and they have antioxidants and phytochemicals and who's the plants. So when you're choosing your protein, make sure that it's a primary source of protein, which would be, I do count all beans and legumes, all beans, lentils, chickpeas would be a primary source, any type of soy. And then certain seeds like hemp seeds, I will count as a protein, and even peanut butter. The rest of the nuts and seeds will count them as a fat. And then the fiber group, which would be your fruits and vegetables. So the other way to just make sure you're getting enough would be when you're choosing a starch, like in the fiber piece, it's fruit, vegetable, or starches. So when you're choosing one, it can be starchy vegetable, like some potato, that's fine. But also to make sure that when you are choosing a grain, to make it a whole grain. And I'm talking like the seedy bread, seedy bagels. I know first trimester, we're not really trying to eat much. We're eating carbs. So maximize those carbs, get them to be at least made from at least one whole grain, have some seeds in there if you could handle it. And each one of those grains or starch choices is an opportunity to boost your protein and even your fat for that meal, instead of missing out and just choosing the kind of white bread.
What is your go-to breakfast for a pregnant person?
Overnight oats or a smoothie.
Okay. So in the overnight oats, tell me what you're putting in it.
Always using a jar or an empty peanut butter jar, not empty. 2 bites left in there. Should I just eat this or should I make breakfast for tomorrow and be prepared? So I just find that pregnant women are still busy, right? It's like postpartum, 4th trimester, this whole other world of food and nutrient density and not having time. But during pregnancy, it's like you're busy in other ways and it's like preparing. So a lot of them are working. So having overnight oats in the fridge ready to go for breakfast and even having smoothies ready to go is something my clients find very helpful. Okay, so overnight oats. Get the jar, fill it halfway with oats and just no measurement. Oats, chia seeds, and then some protein powder. And protein powder is something we talk about a lot. And is it safe and which one to choose? But you have a couple choices with your protein for breakfast. So you can choose peanut butter. If you're going to choose peanut butter, I also recommend a second source of protein. So either peanut butter and soy milk, peanut butter and pea milk, peanut butter and soy yogurt. Those would all be great choices. If you're like, no, I like the almond milk, then just put some protein powder in it. Mm-hmm. And then you just oats, chia seeds, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, 2 tablespoons of yogurt, and some frozen berries, then just milk and milk or water.
And you're good to go. And then you just let that soak and then you're ready to go in the morning.
Yeah, you put it in the fridge.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't need to be peanut butter. There's many ways to do it. I just find like if I don't put peanut butter in it, then in the morning, I'm like adding peanut butter and I'm adding some granola and it's just nice in the morning to maybe add some fresh banana and that's it.
Yep. Okay. Yum. And then do you sweeten it at all or no?
No. So the other thing that I've been using the frozen berries and just letting it go, letting it just like flavor the entire jar of oats. But and then in the morning with the banana, fine. Sometimes I'll add cinnamon. Sometimes I'll add date. I've had a client who like mashes up the banana with the oats. And that's good. It's just it really has to be eaten the next day. A lot of times I like to make it for 2 or 3 days and then it gets slimy with the mashed banana in there. But that will really sweeten it. If you just use even just like a half of a banana mashed up in there with the oats and the chia seeds. So with half chia pudding, half overnight oat, it's really sweet.
I've taken to sweetening my food with fruit only. And it is crazy how sweet it can get. I'm like stuff. Trying to move away from the like stevia and monk fruit
because they're okay too.
And they're
like the best choices for natural sweetener, right? You start to rely on them too much. And then there's this whole fear around tropical fruits and banana has too much sugar. If banana's the sugar you're eating, I think you're doing pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. I feel like bananas were demonized for back and you're just like, oh my God, it has fiber. Like if it has fiber, okay. Okay. So you mentioned protein powder and I would love to hear your recommendations. That's the word. You can see how well my brain is working.
Protein powder.
Yeah.
I have a dream to make a prenatal plant-based protein powder because it's the same with the supplements. It's just there's nothing out there that's perfect. What you need to pay attention to with plant-based protein powders is heavy metals. A lot of time, it's just not regulated. So if it's coming from a lot of rice and pea, it might be a little higher in heavy metals. Now, there is a certain level of heavy metals that is safe in pregnancy. So you don't want to drive yourself crazy. But it's so easy for dietitians just to say, oh, use whey protein. And then when you get into the plant-based world, it's a bit confusing. What I've found is that the soy protein powders are totally fine. And so you don't want them to, what you want to look for is third-party testing, if it's obvious. But beyond that, you want to look for the caffeine is up to you, but it's no added like herbs and no added sweetener, really. And you could sweeten it yourself, especially artificial sweeteners. That's the main thing is you want to look for. And then I just really want it to be soy protein. And it could also be a combination of pea and soy. So what I've been using here is called Nature's Way. It's really plain. It's called Nature's Way, plant-based protein. And the ingredients are just soy protein, 99.99%. And vitamin B1. Exactly. So I'm very happy with that. And it's unflavored. So it just, whatever you throw it in, just tastes like the ingredients you're using.
And then is there any other ones that you recommend that would in the US would be popular? You're like, oh, that one, this one's a good choice. It's a question we get all the time. And I'm always like, oh.
Yeah. It's Naked, I think is what it's called. I know. And it's like expensive. And you don't need to spend so much money on protein powder. And you can just use, first of all, there's whole foods ways to add a protein to your foods. And we add tofu to smoothies. And like I said, peanut butter to those. And all of that is totally fine. Use soy milk, use pea milk. But the naked ones, if it's just a pea protein or a soy protein, those are totally fine.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. We touched on do you have a brand of the omega-3 supplements that you like?
I like Nordic Natural.
Okay.
And Yeah, those pretty much cover it. And then I think Garden of Life has a really good DHA as well. I like them because they usually offer different forms, like a gummy or an oil. So during pregnancy with your various symptoms, you can choose what's working for you.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember being at an event and there was this company and they were like giving us samples of fish oil to test. And I like put it in my mouth and I literally was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like it. And I was just like, this would be something I could not take it while I was pregnant. And I appreciate you for this. It was a clean, all the nonsense, but I'm sorry, I can't take this. I cannot take it in pregnancy. I'm sorry.
No, I even said that in one of my Instagram posts recently. I'm like, yeah, the algae oil, well, they're usually like lemon or citrus essence, and it's really nice. But honestly, even in my pregnancy, it was like, okay, great. This gummy's working for now. This is good. I'm going to take this. I'll take it for a while. It doesn't have this, but I'll make sure I get it near. And then a couple like weeks later, I can't take this down.
Oh my God. That was me with Ritual, like their lemon prenatal. I think I took it for 10 days. And then after the 10th day, I was like, my body was just like rejecting it every time. I was like, what do I do?
I get that all the time. It's like, I work with a client to figure out this supplement, like routine and what they're going to take. And then they're like, okay, can't take that one anymore.
Need a new one. Thank you.
Now gross. Need a new one. We're like, okay, we'll just switch up the flavor.
It's a real problem. So it is great, like that when companies have like a variety of ways that you can take it, whether it's in a powder form or capsule or liquid or gummy or whatever it is. I would like to switch it up consistently. Thank you. Okay, so you mentioned calcium earlier. What are some ways that I can ensure, especially if I'm vegan, how can I ensure I'm getting enough calcium?
Yeah. So another big myth is that you need dairy for calcium. Calcium is very available in many plant foods. Sometimes the calcium fortified plant milks will have, they actually, I was just reading some research about it. The absorption rate of the calcium fortified milks is a little bit lower than dairy milk, but I still usually recommend them. It's about 25% lower absorption, but you can also just turn to plant-based calcium-rich foods, which sesame seeds are one of my favorite. Soy, again, so tofu that is set in calcium is very high in calcium. Dried figs happen to be high in calcium. Tahini because of the sesame seeds, but you need to make sure it's roasted during pregnancy for food safety reasons. So your roasted or toasted tahini. And yeah, again, that's the sesame seeds. And then there's other cruciferous vegetables like kale and bok choy that will be very high in calcium as well.
Let's be honest. One of the hardest and most unexpected things about postpartum was feeding myself nutritious foods. Between trying to figure out my baby's sleep and feeding schedule, trying to keep the house in working order, trying to keep myself bathed and functioning, there was very little extra time to go grocery shopping or to do meal planning and go cook for myself and the family. Enter Home Chef. They have simple and delicious meals for every day of the week. You can choose between the oven-ready meals, which I highly recommend, especially in the early postpartum period, to ready in 15 minutes. The meals are healthy, easy to make, and make the cleanup process easy peasy lemon squeezy. Use the coupon code JUNA115 to get $35 off your first box, $30 off the second box, $25 off the third and fourth boxes. Trust me, this will make your life 1 million times easier when you don't have to think about feeding yourself and your family. Once again, go to homechef.com, pick your meals, and use the coupon code JUNA115 to get $115 off your first four boxes. Enjoy! You've mentioned soy a lot, and I feel like I just want to talk about soy a little because I think that soy has gotten a bad rap too. I think that there's like just so much information out there that would suggest that soy is not great. Soy is okay. So can you just, for someone listening that, wait a minute, I thought I couldn't eat soy. Can you just talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, most people can eat soy unless they have a thyroid issue. Soy has gotten very bad, negatives. Press, if you will. And I do have, it's again, one of the biggest myths about plant-based pregnancy or just plant-based eating is that soy is bad for you. There have been new studies that are showing that soy is actually good for fertility and actually connected to lower risks of cancer. So There's nothing wrong with soy. It's fine. Do you need to eat 5 pounds of it every day? Should it be your only protein source? Absolutely not. Definitely vary your protein, but vary your diet in general. That's how you're going to meet your nutrient needs anyway. In a plant-based diet with soy, try to choose less processed soy. Yes, tofu is processed, but in the same way that like cheese is. So I think that natural tofu in any form, firm to soft, is definitely a good choice. Again, the protein powder can be like a last resort thing if you're not meeting protein needs throughout the rest of your diet. Cheap soy, such as tempeh, miso, excellent choices. I say to include some soy every day.
Okay. And then we talked about primary protein sources. What are they for plant-based? What would you say are like the handful of primary protein sources for you?
Yeah. So when you're like building your plant-based plate, I want you to make sure that there's one primary source of plant-based protein. And in that, I need a bean or lentil or pea. So any type of legume. And I can't put enough emphasis on beans and legumes. They're my favorite category of food. They're 144 different types of beans and legumes. So people get, oh, I'm so bored. I don't want to eat another black bean. It's only black beans. And soybeans could also be considered in that category. But I do consider soy separately because it can be driven to so many other things. Really building most meals, at least dinners, around a bean, around a legume. And then soy would mostly be from tempeh or tofu. And there's wheat gluten and there's seitan. That's just a little like on the processed side for me. And there's pregnant women that I work with that want to just hold up on the amount of processed food that they're eating. They're having soy nuggets and tofurkey and it gets the, especially, and also with the dairy and the cheese. If that's a goal, I really help them eat more of a whole foods plant-based diet. But
beans are the ones that we should go for.
Yes, in general, beans are the ones we should go for. And lentils. And even lentils, there's so many different kinds. So really building your meals around that. And with breakfast, that's why I talk about the peanut butter or the protein powder, because it's a little bit harder to get your main source of protein, your primary source of protein for breakfast. So it might be soy milk. Now, pea milk is also very high in protein. That would be my number one recommendation for plant milk. And you can count that as your protein for breakfast.
Got it. Okay. And then my last question is, do you have some go-to plant-based snacks for pregnancy?
Oh, there's just snacking all day, right? So I really just, one of the things that I focus on is small frequent meals in the beginning of your pregnancy. Get used to that habit. This is an important time to get into that habit so that later in your third trimester, when you're having other symptoms of indigestion, and it's the same thing. So eat small frequent meals. It doesn't mean snacking all day. It just means kind of small meals. So I love just like little balls that will have protein and fat and fiber in them. So that's really what you're looking for in your snack, is like at least two of those parts of the plant-based plate.
Protein,
fiber, and fat. Like those like Nevada natural, like cacao, goji things. Those are so good also postpartum, right? They're just like packed. And so you really want to, and they'll have protein and fat in them. That's fantastic. Something like a Lara bar will be the same thing. Honestly, fruit and peanut butter, fruit and nuts. So helpful. Having them first thing. Harvest snaps, lentil chips, like when you're just kind of running chips, crunchy, salty, you could choose things like that will just have a little bit more protein and just help boost up your salty, crunchy snack with a little bit more nutrition.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that. I try not like all I want to eat is pretzels or chips. And I'm like, what can I eat that's just, it has crunchy? And everyone's like, oh, carrot. I'm like, shut up. That's just not. Yeah. I appreciate that suggestion, and but I reject it. Thank you.
No, I tried that the other day. I was like, we're just putting out the tortilla chips like every afternoon. Like, I'm going to put out some almonds and carrots. It'll get wet really well with one day. And
one day.
So for pregnancy, I really say to pay attention to the quality of the food, to the characteristics of the food that you are craving. And then we can talk about how to make a healthy choice. I'm wanting chips. Okay, let's talk about a lentil chip. You're going to get some more fiber. You're going to get a pretty good amount of protein in there. So let's explore some of the different brands and flavors and have that instead. The same thing with like crackers and cheese. Okay, can we do avocado? Can we choose a whole grain cracker? And then we have a super nutritious, balanced mini meal, right? Instead of just snack.
Are you a fan of those that like almond milk, like the Simple Mills, like almond flour crackers or?
Yeah, who was telling me? Oh, someone was like, oh, they're really high in carb. I didn't think that we're not afraid of carbs in the plant-based things. We're just so focused on protein. Yeah. But definitely cutting back on carbs is not something we need to do. It is such a healthy carb. Flour, any type of flour too. So that's something that I should also mention when I say like choosing a whole grain. I always go to like bread and choosing a whole grain, but it can be so much wheat. You can also choose the gluten-free whole grains, which would be more like oat and quinoa, things made from that. Things made from the seeds, flowers, and legume flowers are our nutritional powerhouses. And there's so many now. You can get crackers that are made from chickpea flour and almond flour, and that's great.
Yep. Yeah. I've been trying to find, I found a couple recipes and I've been meaning to cook the, because I'm to cook them for my kids with like chickpea flour.
That was my favorite food. That's one of my favorite things is chickpeas because it's, could turn into chickpea flour and it like opens up this whole world. So it's back to the variety and the versatility. I'm not here just to tell you to eat black beans. It's okay. I love chickpeas because we can make them crunchy and put them on a salad like croutons. We can make a curry with them, sure. But then now we have a world of like chickpea flour and I tried to make sweet pancakes with them. Not the best idea. I made savory pancakes with them. Fantastic. Yeah, I'll actually leave that recipe up on my Instagram this week.
Oh, good. I'm going to keep my eye out for it because I feel like I don't remember the brand, but I like give my kids like higher protein pancake stuff. Yeah. But I would love to home make it and have it bean rather than wheat flour. So anyway, anything.
Yeah, 100%. No, sorry. I can't be completely. Sweeter pancakes that can be made with the high protein flours. That's like a big hack that we work with a lot with plant-based pregnancies. Oh, I want something sweet and I've been wanting pancake. I don't know what I want to be sweet breakfast or for dinner. I'm like, great, have pancakes for dinner. This is how to make them nutritious.
Yeah, the amount of times I pull the, can we make breakfast for dinner to my kids? And it like works like 10% of the time, but I'm like, it's just so easy.
I think that's what could be intimidating about those flowers too. I'm like, wait, I'm going to make like a chickpea omelet for breakfast when like it could just be oatmeal.
Yeah, it's you make it like three times and then you're kind of an expert on it. But it's like getting
that. So I got the recipe and I'll get share it.
Yeah. Okay, good. That you want to like last things that you want to like the listeners to hear about a plant-based pregnancy that you think that I've missed here.
I just think that it's important to focus on the importance of nutrition during this time. And I know you know about early life nutrition and the first 1,000 days. And that's really why I became a prenatal dietitian is because I wanted to focus on early life nutrition and emphasize the importance, which is becoming more and more understood, of eating well during this time and how it affects lifelong health and the health of your family. So yeah, if you're pregnant, if you're thinking of getting pregnant, this is the most important time to eat and focus on the time during your pregnancy to really nourish yourself. If you do have extra time before you have a kid, focus on this time to balance your plate, get in the habit of doing these things so they become second nature when you're a mom and you are feeding your family in the healthiest way possible. And go to experts for information. Don't Google everything and definitely find the right support. I think that's a big missing piece for me and for a lot of my clients was the support piece. So I think I can do this. I think it can be healthy. My OB like gave me the thumbs up, doesn't really know much about it. Yeah, get the right support so you are feel confident that you're doing everything right.
Yeah, no, I love that. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking plant-based pregnancy with me. Oh, wait, tell people where they can find you one more time.
Yes, mostly on Instagram is where I'm most active at plant-based_motherhood.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life.
If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.